keep myself up. Like, wait a minute, I know this is not what God's called us unto. And watch this, I refuse to quit. God hadn't quit on me, I don't quit on God, praise God. Come on now, there's a whole lot of people that quit on me. I can remember some years ago, but God was the one who stepped in and said, son, I'm still here with you. I still have purpose and plan for your life if you will yield, you know, to me. So God's never quit on me, I'll never quit on him. So even though sometimes things can get heavy, even though sometimes things can become very deflating, I continue to look back to God and say, no, God, I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting on you, not in the least bit. And that's why I will continue to declare in the face of whatever. Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022. Come on, say it with me. Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022. Don't just say it just to say it. Come on, get your faith behind that. Come on now. Let it be an unction from the Spirit of God, and then you release it, and that's where the power comes in, praise God. Hallelujah. So come on, watch this. With that kind of mindset and attitude, say it with me. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. Impact Church of South Florida is moving in 2022. Glory to God. Now watch this. If you believe that, you'd rejoice. Come on, let's rejoice for a minute. Father, we bless you. We rejoice in that. We thank you for our new property. We thank you for the new building. We thank you for all the furniture and accessories that we need, praise God. We thank you for it now in advance. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Come on, this is all a part of the Spirit-infused life. We will not allow ourselves to sink due to challenges in life. Challenges are going to come. Come on, you've had challenges before. We all have. But you're still here. And I know you can testify just like I can about overcoming many challenges in life. Now, we're going to spend most of our time today, this morning, back here in the book of Acts. You know, I was introducing some things last week, just looking at what Pentecost was about. But today in particular, I want us to spend some time on just embracing Pentecost. Embracing what that means for you and what that means for me today. And now let me take you along a little bit of a journey so you can understand what I mean by this. So let's start here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And when it said all the believers, that was 120 that were present in an upper room, male and female. It says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Oh, my. Pentecost is really, you know, significant of 50 days. You know, Penta is where we kind of, you know, get to, you know, the phrase or the number, you know, 50. So it's 50 days after the Passover. And so now after the Passover here, Jesus had told his disciples, I want you to wait here in Jerusalem because the Father has a promise for you. The Father, watch this, has a gift for you, a gift that you do not want to live without. Listen, if you live without this gift, you're missing out on the fullness of life. You're missing out, literally, watch this, on the full meaning of life. So Jesus says, wait here for this. It's my time now to ascend back to be with my Father. He says, but my Father has already promised, and I'm in on the execution of this, that we're going to release unto you, watch this, another gift, and this is going to be just like me, praise God. And then here in Acts chapter 2, it all begins to break out. They're in the upper room, they're praying together. And then, you know, various translations, it makes it clear that there was a spirit of harmony and peace there. Watch this, there was no strife. There was no bickering. There was no, well, why they got this position and why I don't have that position. And, you know, there was none of that little infighting going on. Come on. They were just in expectation. They're looking for something. They're expecting something. Come on. Just like you and I expecting, watch this new building. They're expecting something from God. And as a result, it said suddenly, bang, out of nowhere. That's what suddenly means. Come on now. There was no previous introduction. They're praying and doing what they were normally doing every single day, but all of a sudden on this day, different than the day before, bang, the Spirit of God shows up and rests upon them in a tangible way where it says like tongues like as a fire. And now the Spirit of God comes upon them and it says they began to speak. they begin to speak now in other tongues or other languages. Now, in this particular incident, it's really significant because as they began to speak, there were various educated Jews in particular that were present during this time from various regions all around Israel that spoke different languages and some different dialects. So now these individuals that were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were deemed to be uneducated and unlearned. So they didn't go to, you know, the particular rabbinical schools and so forth. So they didn't have very high esteem for them. But these individuals began to speak and praise God in all of these various individual languages. And everybody's amazed. Everybody's like, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? And then you see something here in verse 12 and 13. It says they, the people that were witnessing all this, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all it is. Isn't it interesting? There's always some individuals that want to try to, you know, discredit what God is doing. But they're trying to understand it. And get this. Many individuals today are stuck in that same place, not really understanding what is Pentecost. What just happened? What is the significance of what happened? So that's what we want to talk about. We want to embrace, you know, Pentecost. What does this mean? What's going on here? Listen, the community, and I imagine even many of the disciples were astounded by what had just occurred. So everyone is likely to question, you know, what does this mean? What is the meaning or significance of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Most people, watch this, were naturally intrigued. However, in typical fashion, there were those who quickly attempted to discredit, minimize, and ridicule God and the people that were surrendering to God. See, a lot of times when people can't understand something, then they just criticize it. If people can't even explain it away or, watch this, defeat it in a verbal argument, they'll just criticize it. You see it happen all the time just in our society today. Rather than individuals entering over into a debate and really kind of trying to work through issues, you just hear all this name calling. Oh, this person is an idiot. This person is a bigot. This person is a racist. So forth. It just reduces, you know, to that, you know, what I would call elementary way of, you know, interacting. And that's not what God's called us unto. And this is the same thing that's going on here. Because they couldn't explain it, because they didn't experience it, again, in their rabbinical schools and so forth, because, you know, in their degree learning, they didn't, you know, learn all of this, they looked at it and said, you know what, these folks are just drunk. That's all this is. That's all. Don't anybody make, you know, a big to-do about this. They're just simply drunk. That's interesting. Then I love it, though. Peter steps up. Come on, one of the drunk ones. He steps up and he begins to open up and he gives a defense of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to set the record straight. And then I love it here. You know, we see when you keep reading in there in verse 14, how he begins to set the stage. Now he's responding to the ridicule. He's presenting this defense, you know, this apologetic now of the gospel. And watch this, and even specifically now of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because this is what was throwing everybody off. It's just like, what is going on here? We've seen something come rest upon these individuals, men and women. And now we hear them speaking in other tongues, men and women. I keep stressing that because I'm really trying to deal a death blow to this mindset that somehow, you know, women are not ordained or anointed to preach, you know, that they're supposed to be limited, you know, in the church setting. No, that's not it at all, at all. Peter was looking to set the record straight. Then I like here that we're going to see in just a second in verse 16, Peter connects the experience they witnessed and were confused about with the declaration of the prophet Joel. Peter says, you know what? I'm going to take y'all back to something I know you know so that you can understand how this connects and how this is really the fulfillment of something. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, let's look at this. It says, no, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. It says, so what you're criticizing right now, you're calling us drunk and so forth, says, no. This connects with what God was doing centuries ago and what God said centuries ago. He says, so don't look at it now like, oh, you know, they're just beside themselves. They're just drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, no, no, that's not the case at all. He says, this is what the prophet Joel prophesied about. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Or some translations say all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Come on, who's prophesying? Sons and daughters. Your young men will see visions. Come on, your old men will dream dreams. In those days, come on, what days are those days? Peter's are saying, those days are now this day. He says, Joel was saying something was coming. I'm here to declare to you what he prophesied about is now fulfilled today. And watch this. It wasn't just simply fulfilled in one shot, in one day. Now it was an experience that was in the earth, watch this, for all of eternity. So that you and I, even in this day, could experience what Peter had talked about right there in that day. Oh, yeah. He says, in those days, as he's quoting Joel, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Man, Peter is doing something here. He's saying what God is doing in the earth, what God is establishing, watch this, is a new community. Where it's not about Jew or Gentile. It's not about male or female. It's not even about your social, you know, status, whether you're slave or free. God says, I'm doing something where I'm pulling everyone together. And this is extremely and extraordinarily unique during this particular time. Because everything was isolated again by nation, and the Jews had themselves set off like, you know, we're God's chosen people and everyone else is just a lowly Gentile. But God says, no. I was using you all for a purpose because I wanted to bless everyone. It's always been God's heart. He wanted to bless everyone, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Jew, whatever the case may be. God says, I'm looking to bless everyone. So I used you so that I could be able to bless the entire earth. Joel prophesied, and when you start talking about prophecy, prophecy is really declaration on behalf of God of events or experiences that are to come in the future. So this is what Joel did. Joel declared something on God's behalf of what was coming, events and experiences that was going to take place. And he's prophesying that there's coming now a season that would give space to a new, really societal structure, a whole new societal dynamic. And like I said, a whole new sense of community of how humanity is even to interact with each other. This is what Joel is prophesying here. God was pouring out his spirit. This is himself. Baptism of the Holy Spirit upon all people. Again, men and women, Jews and Gentiles, young and old, slave and free. And as a result, listen, because this is what we're going to come back to next week. As a result, a prophetic community was supposed to emerge. A prophetic community now is supposed to now begin to emerge and rise. As a result of God's promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or watch this, as a result of Pentecost. But let's keep looking at this. Let's drop down further in Acts, you know, chapter 2, down to verse 32. It says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Can the church say amen? Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. Come on now. The Father gave him, the Son, the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us. This is why we talked about on last week in terms of Jesus being that spirit baptizer. Because he, in essence, is the one that poured out now the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. He's available to everyone. And it doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter your background at all. You can have a background that, you know, where you have 15 degrees. You can have a background where you didn't even get, you know, through middle school. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're from the United States or if you're from, you know, a country in East Africa or if you're from, you know, the Ukraine or Russia or China, Asia, Philippines. It doesn't matter the background. God says here, I promise and I gave my spirit to my son who now was to pour him out upon all flesh. He's available for you today. Come on, lift up two hands with me. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my world. Yeah, yeah. You're welcome in my world, praise God. Hallelujah. Notice what Peter did here in this particular passage. He connects the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, again, baptism of the Holy Spirit, to the ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. He connects it. He says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he's exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father had, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us. He connects now Jesus, again, life, his ministry, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, all with what Joel was talking about. See, watch this. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another element of the gospel. So your gospel is not complete. Your gospel is not complete if you have not yet received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, yeah. You got to make sure that you get everything. Jesus as Savior, that's great. Jesus as Sanctifier, that's good too. But you got to make sure you get a hold of Jesus as the Spirit Baptizer, the one now who's pouring out the Spirit of God upon you. Watch this, with the Bible evidence of speaking in other tongues. And see, and then the last two points that I shared with you on last week will come into play, where now Jesus really becomes your healer. Yeah, and Jesus is your soon coming king. So he makes that connection. And then in verse 36, watch this. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus. Matter of fact, let me back up. I want to read that different. So let everyone in South Florida know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words, watch this, pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Ah, this is what I've been, you know, working up all the way to this particular point right here. When they heard the word of God, remember, they asked themselves, what does this mean? What is going on? These guys must be drunk. These women must be drunk. Peter gets up and he defends the, you know, what has happened. And he defends Jesus. He defends the gospel. He defends the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's so skillful in his defense that now that same crowd that was saying that they were drunk says, okay, wait a minute, we get it. So now what do we need to do? And that question that they asked is the same question you should ask today as well. What should you do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? What should you do with Pentecost? But again, you want to embrace it. Let's look at how to do that. And Peter lays it out. He tells them right here, watch this. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, look, you need to work out these first really four things. He says, and as you work out those first four things, you know, before God, now you put yourself in position to receive the gift. It's a gift. So you can't earn it. You can't work up for it. It's a gift for you to receive. The gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the significance, again, of the Holy Spirit coming upon in your life? He comes there for you and me for power. He's the one who makes our efforts easy and our results amazing. He's the one who empowers us to do what we couldn't do in and of ourselves. He's the one that gives us wisdom and ideas and creative, you know, thinking that we couldn't just, you know, stimulate on our own, praise God, that we don't have an education for. He's the one that can transcend all of that. That becomes the significance of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just so that you can be wise and you can be powerful and you can be great, but it's so that you can testify and witness to him. That's what this baptism is for. For now you and me to be able to turn around and to go into our jobs, to go into the marketplace, to go into the business arena, to go into the community, to allow people, watch this, to experience the life, the energy, and power of Jesus on you. Oh, yeah. That's why the Spirit of God has been poured out. And that's what you want to get in on. It's not just for you. It's always for him. So now, what should we do? What should we do, they ask. Let me give you five things very quickly of what you need to do. Do these things. Someone say, I'll do it. Yeah, they'll just say, I trust you, Pastor. So whatever you're going to say, I know it's coming from God's word. So I'm going to say it up front. I do it. Come on, say it with me. I'll do it. Yeah, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. Number one is this. Commit to renewing your mind daily in Christ. Commit to renewing your mind, listen, every single day in Christ. Renewing your mind means you are displacing old ideas, old patterns of thinking with God's idea and God's patterns of thinking. And this is something that has to happen every day. As a matter of fact, in order for God's ideas and patterns of thinking to really take in your mind, you will probably have to work that same idea and that same pattern of thinking from God over and over and over and over in your life before it really takes. So you're going to have to continue to try to, you know, expel the old idea. You're going to have to continue to try to expel, you know, the old pattern of thinking. And then you have to intentionally say, but God, I trust you. You said to forgive. I love the fact, you know, Jesus looked up, you know, as he's being crucified. Father, forgive them. Says they know not what they do. See, that's a God idea. That's a God pattern of thinking where forgiveness is always extended. Come on, you know, sometimes some people can do some things and you want to be mad at them. Come on, you don't want to just simply be mad. You want to go get them. Come on, am I talking to anybody here? You want to actually go deal with some things, as we used to say. You want to throw some hands. Nah, that's the old way. That's the old way. I get it. That's the old way. But the issue here is we want to throw that out and take in the new. And you got to do that over and over and over. Listen, you know, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, for many of you, you know. And I used to wear it like a badge of honor, like, you know, watch out, don't mess around with me because, you know, the Detroiter come up out of me. And I remember I was talking to my nephew, and we were talking, you know, along these lines, and it just came up out of me. I wasn't even thinking about it, but it just came up out of me. It says, you know, the kingdom of God coming out of you is much more powerful than Detroit coming out of you. I was like, I'm listening to myself as I'm saying it. I said, yeah, the kingdom is more powerful than the Detroit. Come on, I don't care where you're from. You New York, you know, whatever. Come on, Poking Beans, Opa-locka, wherever you may be from, and you want to try to wear it as a badge of honor like you're hard and tough. Praise God, you're hard, you're tough. But you don't get any more power, you don't get any more force and strength than you do from the kingdom. So your mindset ought to be, you know what? I want to allow the kingdom of God to come out and deal with this situation. Oh, there's a force that comes out then that is undeniable. See, but that's all a part of committing to renew your mind daily in Christ. And I got news for you. That won't necessarily take just because you heard me say that now. See, I already know some of you's like, yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. But that won't take just because you say that's good today. You're gonna have to intentionally now throw out that old idea, that old pattern, and continue to take that in every single day. And as you do so, it'll lock in. It'll lock in if you stay consistent with it. Number two is this: surrender daily to his will in your attitude, thinking, and emotions. Surrender daily to his will in your attitude, thinking, and emotions. I've said this for some time now, I want to say it again. Never complain about what God has called you to. Never complain about where God has called you to. Never complain about those God has called you to be connected with. Why is that? Because when you do, you're not surrendering your will to his will. You're not surrendering your attitude to his attitude. God's called you, you know, to something. And for us not to, watch this, embrace it with joy, to be excited about it, oh my goodness, that means we're missing it. We don't understand. Watch this. We're living not a spirit-infused life. We're living a more of a religious life where we're just kind of going through some motions. Learn to surrender daily to his will in your attitude, in your thinking, and emotions. Come on, we talked about it. When we get over into our feelings, we are completely out of faith. Let's just be honest, you know, with ourselves. You get into your feelings, you're out of faith. And you need to make sure you have some people that can talk to you and that love you and that you will be open enough with so that when they see you in your feelings, they can snatch you out of there and be like, look, get out of that. Yeah, I get it. I know that's how you feel. I get it. I know. I know. I know. But God says, So again, this thing always comes down when we just kind of strip it all the way down. It comes back to, well, what has God said? I get it. There's all kind of voices in the earth today. So various things that are said, you know, various things are said about relationships and so on and so forth. But what does God say? And therefore, it comes down to this. Now, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Will you allow society to convince you that you know, religion is just kind of man-made and it's just a way to control, you know, people and so forth, and you know that's not, you know, really how you were designed? You're going to buy into that? Oh, you know, that Bible, that's, you know, that's just man-made, you know, so forth. You know, that's not necessarily God's word. Okay, you can buy into that, or you can choose to believe what God said. Now, see, for me, a person is like a year short and many dollars short, you know, because you trying to convince me of that today makes no sense, because I've experienced too much of God. See, it's one thing to read things in a book. There's one thing is to hear someone preaching sermons to you. It's a whole nother thing to begin to experience the pages of the Bible in your life. So somebody trying to convince me now that, well, this is that's man-made, so on and so forth. So you way late and way short, because I've had too much experience with God. Watch this, for me to turn back on him for any reason. He's never quit on me. I'm never quitting on him. Third one is this: become an active part. Oh, let's back up. Third one is publicly identify with Christ through water baptism. You see, Peter, you know, stressing them, says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Listen, you want to publicly identify with Christ through water baptism. This is God's initiation into the family. Water baptism. If you've never done that, come on, you need to do so. Hey, if you can make the trip with us in Jacksonville in a few weeks, come on, register today for the water baptism so you can get in on it. If for some reason that just doesn't work, don't worry. We're working something out so we'll be able to do some other things, you know, here real soon. But you want to make sure that you are water baptized, because it's not just simply saying that just as Jesus died and was buried and rose again so that now I died to my old self and have risen to a new life. But it also says now that you're coming into a whole new family, a whole new community. So that's where we get to number four, and that is then become an active part of the church community. Listen, if Pentecost is going to mean something to you, if you're going to embrace it, then you have to become an active part of the church community. Okay, I get it. Maybe you've been disappointed in church before. Join the crowd. So have I. I've been disappointed. Yep, absolutely. But that doesn't mean now that I back up on what God's called me to. That doesn't mean I go somewhere and hide. That doesn't mean I say, you know what, I pack my bags, I'm going to a different church. I mean, isn't that funny? I mean, the amount of people that do that kind of stuff. What if pastors did that? Be like, you know what? I'm tired of these people, how they acted. I'm going over here now. And in some denominations, you do have that kind of movement too. But no. This is the church community that God has called us into. So be an active part of it. Listen, you're not already engaged in the dream team. Come on, get active. If you are part of the dream team, but watch this, but you know you're just kind of there, come on, take a step up. Take a step up, and let's go a little bit further. Be an active part. And then lastly is this then, you got to seek and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Seek and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit now, which is what we also call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Seek and receive. Seek and receive. So when these people asked what was going on in the day of Pentecost and are these people drunk, and they said, you know, what does this mean? What it meant is something extraordinary had just taken place in their midst. Something so phenomenal that it was shifting social structure in the community. And it was calling for the emerging church now to be this prophetic voice in society. You have a prophetic voice. You have to use it in order for it to have any expression, in order for God to get any value from it. You have to use it. Now I want to charge you and challenge you. Don't miss, you know, as we conclude this on next week, because I want to deal with some elements of this prophetic voice. Listen, you want to get in on this. This is game-changing language for your life. Every person on the planet, for that matter, but certainly every Christian, should know how to use their prophetic voice. See, this is all about embracing Pentecost, that you begin to use your prophetic voice. I'm pouring out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Come on now. Old men will have dreams. Young men will see visions. Come on. Everyone is receiving this, is going to prophesy. So I declare over you today that this is a prophetic season for your life. And as you begin to engage more with the Spirit of the living God, that words that shall usher from your mouth shall begin to create new destinies and new future for you. Somebody say, I receive it. Come on, just lift up your hands right there. Say, I receive it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Come on, bow your heads with me right there where you are for a moment. Listen, the entrance, you know, point and doorway to the Spirit-infused life is a life that surrenders to God through connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who lived for you. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who rose for you, and he's the one who ascended for you. All because of how much God loves you. Listen, you got to answer the question today, whether you're here in the auditorium or whether you are online, you got to answer the question. If I were to give up my last breath today, would I go to be in the presence of God? Now, the only way you can know that for sure is if you're a part of God's family right here, right now on this earth. Now, you don't just simply become a part of God's family because you say you're a part of God's family. You don't simply become a part of God's family because you say, you know, I want to be a part of God's family. The only entrance point into the family is Jesus. It is in embracing the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension that he performed all for you. But when you do so, come on now, there comes a complete change. Come on, your nature changes. You get the same DNA, watch this, just like God. Now, there's something new about you. You may not feel any different. You may not look any different, but I guarantee you this, you are 100% different. And then Jesus does this when you make that decision for him, says, now we're going to seal this all on the inside. And that's how I now release this spirit upon you, release this spirit within you that seals it and locks it all in so that all of heaven, all of the earth and all of hell knows you now belong to me. That's the entrance point. Now, listen, if you can't say that that's your testimony for sure, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Come on. I want to invite you into a relationship with God through his son, Jesus, today. And as you receive him, you're receiving it all. You're receiving Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Here's what I want to want you to do. Everyone, just take a moment. Bow your heads with me right there where you are. Keep them bowed if they're already bowed. But just bow your heads. Listen. If that's you and you desire my prayers, come on, come on. Without thinking about it, do this. Just shoot one hand up under heaven, right there where you are. Whether you're there in an auditorium, whether you're online, just shoot up one hand and say, yep, that's me. I want to receive. I want to receive all that God has for me. I want to live life with purpose and meaning. Yeah, that's you. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. If you raise your hand, you can put your hand down. But let me do this. I want to look. One more time. I want to extend this invitation one more time because I don't want to rush past anyone. If you didn't already raise your hand, wherever you may be, and whenever you may be, you know, watching this, if you didn't raise your hand, shoot it up right now just as an act of faith towards God to say, yep, I receive you, Father. I receive you. I'm getting rid of the old ideas, the old patterns, and I'm embracing yours. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Congratulations on that. You can put your hands down too. So let me do this. Let me do this. I want to pray for everyone. So now I'm going to ask everyone, that's including myself. We're just going to lift up two hands under heaven. This is where our help comes from. Come on, lift it up. And I want to ask everyone boldly, courageously, and strongly, wherever you may be right now, say this out loud with me. Dear Father God, thank you so much for your amazing love in giving to me your son Jesus. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my savior, my Lord, my king, my everything. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your plan and purpose for my life. Thank you for making me your own. Amen. 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 Come on, somebody rejoice right there for a moment. Hallelujah. Praise, glory, and honor to your wonderful name, Daddy. Thank you so much for that in Jesus' name. Now listen closely to me. We're not over. We're not over. Maybe you're present and you've yet to just get in here on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've yet to really embrace Pentecost to the end. Come on, I gave you 5 steps there. And yeah, you've done number 1 where you've committed now to renewing your mind daily in Christ. And you surrender daily to his will to some degree. But you've yet to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit with the Bible evidence of speaking in other tongues. Listen, listen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Today. Come on. Today. Let's lock in today. There, after our service today, there will be our ministers that will be available for you so that if you have questions, they'll be able to sit down with you, take you through some things in the Word of God so you can understand clearly, again, what God is saying here and how you can experience. If you are online and you say, yeah, I have questions, can someone reach out to me to answer my questions? We'd be glad to. Do this for us. Text the word SPIRIT to the number on the screen. That's all you need to do. Text the word SPIRIT, type it into the chat so that we can recognize it. And we will make sure now that you get a hold of someone will get a hold of you and then help walk you through how you can experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a tremendous time, a tremendous season. Listen, if you responded, you know, to the first invitation, you know, and you're online, be sure to let us know as well and just text us the word decided, that the number you'll see come up on the screen also, so we can know just to be praying for you, you know, regarding that as well. And I would encourage you, get a twofer. If you made a decision for Jesus, then go ahead and get the full package, baby. Don't hold back. Come on, get Jesus as Savior, but then get him as the Spirit baptizer too, praise God. Let him fill you up, praise God. So I want to encourage you, be sure to text that to the word SPIRIT if you want more information about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the word DECIDED to the numbers that you see right there on your screen. Listen, we love you. We are praying for you. God's best is right here in front of us. Let's go get it. Let's pray it out and let's use our prophetic voice. I will see you next Sunday. Bring somebody with you as we get ramped up, praise God, going into the latter part of this year, because I believe it's going to be tremendous. It's still a year of miraculous interventions, and I'm just expecting a sudden move of God. Blessings to you. Stay tuned and we'll see you in a moment.